Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name is RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Wednesday. Happy hump day, April 1st, 2020. Happy April Fool's Day to you. Do not get got. This is going to be a day, depending on when you're listening to this, with lots of fake accounts, seemingly. So do not get got by the Twitter trolls. We hope all is well wherever you are. We hope you're happy, hope you're safe, hope you're healthy. Obviously, hope you're practicing social distancing, washing your hands. These are troubling times for our world, and we're going to make it through together. Something interesting, I think, right now, obviously, there are no live sports. And while there are much more important things going on in the world than the world of sports, we all miss sports, certainly. And, you know, I'm sure you're aware. If you're not, well, hey, going to let you know. NFL Game Pass is currently available for free. That's right, 100% for free. If you don't know what NFL Game Pass is, that's okay. Basically, it's the NFL's subscription service that allows you to watch every game. And you can go back in history and watch games. And there's all 22 angles and, you know, coaches film and whatever. And so it's really, really great. And it's a lot of fun to go back and rewatch games. It's what I do every week, obviously, after the Cowboys play a game, go back, watch what they just did, watch their opponents and whatnot. And you can go back in the history books, you can watch, you know, some great games and things like that, watch a bunch of Super Bowls. And so we put together a video for you, if you are curious, with our top 10 recommended games for you to go back and watch. Top 10 games of the last decade, at least, for the Dallas Cowboys. So that video should be available sometime Wednesday, about lunch at the very latest, on the Blog of the Boys YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe there. We're really beefing up what we're doing over on YouTube, so make sure you are part of that. That way you don't miss a single thing. You know, in terms of missing anything, there's not really much to miss right now. This is the third week of free agency, and so not a lot going on, not a lot of deals, nothing really big with regards to the Cowboys. Gerald McCoy did officially sign his deal on Tuesday. There were photos and videos and stuff. We've got those available for you on our social channels, at Blogging the Boys on Twitter, blogging.the.boys on the IG. Gerald McCoy looks good with a star. Something important, I suppose, from an NFL wide angle, is the NFL is moving forward with an extra wild card team per conference. So there will now be three wild card teams in both the NFC and the AFC, and only the top seeded team in each conference will earn a bye. So we've got extra playoff games, going to make for an interesting playoff weekend. Obviously, we don't know what the NFL season is going to look like, a subject that we discussed on both of the Blogging the Boys podcast episodes on Tuesday. You can go back and listen to me and Chris Solomon from No Laying Up on the Ocho. Solly and I kind of got into it in terms of how the world of golf is handling it. And then Tony Casillas and I on the 750 kind of extrapolated how we think it could look for the NFL, you know, throughout the calendar year of 2020. But for now, you know, we're all operating under the assumption that things, and I don't even know if it's an assumption, just the hope that things kind of work out to where football can happen. And again, way more important things going on, but we all also are hoping that football returns as soon as it possibly can. And there are a lot of things to be excited about when it comes to football. And I know, speaking for myself, and on the subject of old games, the video we did was games from the last decade, but a game from the decade prior was on NBC Sports Network on Tuesday night. If you follow me on Twitter, at RJ Ochoa, by the way, that's Instagram too, you likely saw me tweeting about this, likely saw us tweeting about it at BTB. The 2006 game that the Cowboys played on the road against the Carolina Panthers was on NBC Sports Network. And if you are unaware, that was Tony Romo's first start. And so it was really fun watching it and just kind of really watching football and seeing the way it looked, seeing uniforms, seeing the graphics that NBC used. This game was on Sunday Night Football. This was the first year, by the way, of NBC getting the Sunday Night Football package. So Al Michaels, John Madden, Andrea Kramer. I vividly remember watching this game at Buffalo Wild Wings with my dad, with Papa Ocho. I was in high school at the time. And, you know, I've said this before. There was a great, you know, run of questions that we talked about on the 750 with, you know, favorite Cowboys memories and things like that. I graduated high school in 2008. And so the fall of 2007 was my senior year of high school. It was the fall, you know, of my senior year. And so I think, you know, I know we have some younger listeners. And so if you're in high school, certainly treasure those times. But, you know, that is, if you have graduated high school by this point in your life, you know that that's a really, really special time. And so that 06-07 run was just so special. And for me personally, to experience it, you know, at that impressionable age. So it was really great to kind of jog those memories and experience it. And at one point, Jason Witten catches a touchdown. You know, young Jason Witten in his fourth year in the NFL. Crazy the way time goes on. But Jason Witten catches a touchdown after lining up out wide. That's right. Jason Witten lines up out wide. I never would have believed it, again, if I hadn't seen it again myself on Tuesday night. You got to be really athletic. You got to be really able to move to do something like that. And the Cowboys currently, in terms of today, have somebody like that in Blake Jarwin, who they recently signed to a big-time extension. And Blake Jarwin obviously has a wide-ranging set of skills. And, you know, we wanted to kind of learn more about Blake and kind of how he developed into who he is and who every Cowboys fan wants him to be. So we decided to go to somebody who knows him better than most. The one and only coach Jason McIndoe, if you are unfamiliar, is the tight ends and Cowboys backs coach at Oklahoma State University. Coached Blake in college. And so coach was kind enough to take some time to join us and kind of talk about Blake Jarwin and his road to, you know, through Oklahoma State and getting to the Cowboys and everything that's kind of gone on between going undrafted and getting the big time extension that he did. Coach also talks about, you know, the way Oklahoma State's handling the coronavirus pandemic that's taken over our world. And I think it's, you know, I imagine you know, odds are you're a college football fan. Maybe you're a Cowboy fan, Oklahoma State Cowboys. And so this is likely, you know, going to impact that and obviously spring games and things like that. And so it's a conversation I think you're really going to enjoy. So I hope that you do remember you can subscribe to the Blog and the Boys podcast feed wherever you get podcasts. At the very least, you get at least one Dallas Cowboys podcast every single day. We give you the Ocho at the very least every day to start your day off and give you kind of the latest headlines and, you know, big time stories going on with the Cowboys. And these days we're doing what we can to give you guests every single day. We appreciate the feedback we're getting, and so we're trying to wrangle up all our friends to have some fun conversations and get through these times together. And then we've also got Talking the Draft, where our focus is obviously on the upcoming NFL draft, which is now this month that we are in April. We've also got Brews and the Boys, and of course, as mentioned, the 750. Look, our podcast lineup, we got a Super Bowl champion, baby. Tony Casillas is part of the crew, so you know you need to subscribe. So let's quit dancing around, right? Let's go ahead and let's light this candle. Coach Jason McIndoe from Oklahoma State joins us next right here on The Ocho. Pleased to be joined now by a very special guest, the one and only, the worldwide famous, the debonair from Oklahoma State University, tight ends, Cowboys backs coach, extraordinaire coach Jason McIndoe. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot. I don't know if I could live with that, but that's a heck of an entrance right there. Thanks.
I don't think I said anything that was false. So you and I were talking, obviously, in an interesting time in the world, to say the least. So how's social distancing going for you? What are you watching on Netflix? I hear you're a big fan of The Office.
Yeah, Office. Yeah, we're watching that right now, and then also a big fan of Yellowstone. So rewatching season two, waiting for season three to come out. I tweeted at him the other day to see if I could prompt, like a lot of people, see if I could prompt them to get season three moved up.
Are you on like bully him? Like use the power of your social standing. I appreciate that.
Team Rip, just trying to go Team Rip on him.
So. Isn't that, didn't you dress up as him for Halloween one year?
It was last Halloween, yes. So yeah. I was Rip, and then my wife was Beth. And so
Okay, so this is interesting because you were dressed up as him, so that's one of your two favorite shows. The other one is The Office. And did you not have a recruit named Michael Scott one year? Am I correct there?
We did. We had a defensive end.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, what? How long? I mean, I imagine you were watched. That was like, what, like 3 years ago, I think?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, so, you know, were you a fan of The Office then, or are you like new to The Office ways?
You know, I've watched The Office. I'm a fan of the GIFs.
Sure.
They make for great comical relief. So.
Well, I think a buddy of mine told me that the TV show Community, it's a bit older now, is dropping on Netflix. I think like on April 1st. So I'll recommend that. So watch out for Community. So in a real world sense, how is your life different? How's your work life different right now? Obviously, you know, I imagine you don't get much time off throughout the entire year, let alone the off season. I imagine right now you're prepping for spring game. You're doing all sorts of stuff. How's your life different and everything going on with the Cowboys?
Yeah, right now, just like everybody out there, just trying to find a normal schedule. And, you know, I've got four kids at the house. And so since going to online schooling here in Oklahoma and like a lot of places, I'm just kind of trying to figure out what to do with them and academically and activity wise. You know, definitely everybody's got a lot more time now. I live on about 20 acres, so I've got the kids working every single day. So we're not short of any projects around the house. That's for sure. But, you know, as far as work goes, in tough situation, everybody's in a tough situation. So just trying to figure out the direction to go right now and working with our guys, you know, via, you know, social distancing meetings, Zoom, right. Kind of like the new deal. You know, guys trying to figure out where to work out. How to work out, different facilities. Some guys have facilities, some guys don't. So that's, you know, just handling that battle academically. You know, a lot of guys, you know, everybody's been shifted to online classes now. Now, the majority of our guys, a lot of guys already were online classes, so that's no change for them. But one of my guys specifically, going to be a senior, he's a nutrition major, and he had a lot of labs and a lot of classes, so he's transitioning to online classes.
Wow.
Yeah, so just trying to figure that balance out and, you know, obviously try to keep guys motivated and moving in a good direction. We've got a really good team for next year. And so obviously, you know, like everybody losing spring practice, we got three in before the plug got pulled. But, you know, missing 12 practices, that's a big deal.
Oh, surely. You know, I don't know, like, this is a situation, you know, I think we've all said and thought this different times, like, you don't know where to start, you know what I mean? Like, you have no idea. It's like when, you know, like, you're gonna do cleaning or something, you're like, this room, whatever, so dirty, I literally have no idea where to start. And there's all sorts of angles to consider here. I'm curious, because so many of our followers obviously pay attention very closely to the NFL, and there's been a lot of discussion about the NFL draft marching forward. And so people wondering about the potential disconnect or lack of sort of normal intel on prospects, what would it be like for you? And I'm sure you do recruiting at this time of year. Obviously, it's not like the fall, though, so it's a tad different. But what would that be like if you couldn't meet any, you know, recruits in person, if you couldn't meet their parents, if you couldn't go to their house and kind of sell your program?
Yeah, I mean, that's happening right now. We're trying to figure that out. I mean, we recruit every day, every single day. You're on the phone or texting or, you know, doing something with the recruits. So being able to go to this online Zoom deal, I mean, being able to put boots on the ground and then see a kid in person at spring practice or have them come to your camp. I mean, that's really where the rubber meets the road, right? Same as the combine, same as the individual workouts,
right?
And work these guys out. I mean, that's really where decisions are made. I mean, they're interested off of tape and what your resume that you put on tape, same as us, right? I'm watching huddle, watching high school tape, so I'm interested, and I'm really moving, you know, wanting to move forward on kids. But then not being able to sit down and talk with them, that would be a big deal. As far as the draft goes, and the, you know, they'll still handle everything moving forward. Just nobody will be there, you know. And so it's the same thing like recruiting. We're gonna move forward and keep evaluating prospects and keep digging up kids and finding kids and working through it. And so, yeah, that's definitely been a challenge. That's a challenge for everybody. And so the people that are going to navigate that the best obviously will have the best foot forward.
I imagine there's also I mean, there's so many unseen difficulties, but I bet, you know, maybe you go to lunch with a group of guys, other coaches, and maybe somebody mentions, you see this kid, you know what I mean? And those types of things, just, you know, those natural sort of organic, you know, I'm sure you've found a recruit at one point in time in your career from, you know, an odd conversation or whatever. And you don't have those opportunities right now. I mean, you have certainly different methods and platforms, as you mentioned, but it's crazy. I mean, you know, and that's what I'm saying. It's so weird how this is a shared normal for everybody else that the whole world is experiencing.
I tell you what, these things right here, these little smartphones right here, I mean, this changed the face of recruiting as it is, right?
Sure.
Social media. I mean,
well, and yeah, you're really active on Twitter too. To that point,
there's hardly any hidden gems anymore. I mean, seriously, you think you found a kid? I'm out in East Texas recruiting. I think I found a kid. And then he doesn't stay hidden because of smartphones, because of Instagram and Twitter and all those things and all the different platforms, all the different recruiting services out there. And guys, I mean, it's just, there's so much. And then, you know, as soon as a kid tweets, hey, got an offer from Oklahoma State, well, then it's, you know, then,
right.
Or from wherever, you know, then it's like a snowball effect, right? I mean, everybody just kind of gets going and says, oh, who's that?
Yeah. And, it's interesting. So I live in San Antonio and I do a lot of radio work here in town, and on ESPN San Antonio, we always have the Army All-American Bowl every year. So it's, you know, and we call high school games every week. And so we really love high school football here in Texas. And so Brandon Huffman from 24/7 Sports comes down to call that game. And so that dude is, I mean, I don't know anybody in the world that knows more about high school football than this guy. And so, but what I always like talking to him about is, because I'm a big social media guy, as I'm sure you're aware. And he talks about how they follow the follows. So they'll, you know, go to, you know, when they're trying to figure out where seniors are going to, you know, commit to whatever, they'll go like comb through the people they're following and like, oh, maybe, you know, recruit X is following Oklahoma State or following you or whoever. And like, it's, you know, does your heart flutter a little bit when you want a kid? And, you know, you maybe if you see that, you see a tweet he liked or something like that. I mean, do you get excited for stuff like that?
Oh, I mean, for sure. I mean, obviously the content you're putting out and, you know, that's for the kids to see and recruits and, you know, and also for family, mom and dad. I mean, that's
a great angle. Yeah. You're playing to everybody.
I had somebody tell me a long time ago about Twitter when it first started getting going with it is they said, it's a way for you to brand yourself. It's a way for you to brand your school and tell your story before anybody else has a chance to tell your story.
Sure.
And so I've always kind of taken that angle with my Twitter, my platform is, you know, basically just, I think it's important for recruits or recruits' parents for them to see me not only as a coach, but as a dad, as a husband, as a, you know, my hobbies, my interests.
A fan of Yellowstone.
Fan of Yellowstone.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk about a different sort of Cowboys here on this show. Definitely big fans of Oklahoma State, certainly. And the Dallas Cowboys actually have deep Oklahoma State ties. They've kind of dissipated in recent memory, but for a while there was like six Cowboys on the Cowboys. But one of them, in fact, I would argue the more prominent member, Oklahoma State alum on the Cowboys, Blake Jarwin, your guy. Has Blake sent you like a fruit basket or anything? I mean, he's got the liquid cash to do that right now.
You know, he gave it to Oklahoma State, so that was awesome.
That's right. And he gave it to, right now, obviously, you know, lots going on in the whole world, as mentioned, but he gave it to people and workers that are being affected by no spring practices and activities, correct?
Yeah. There was a great article in the Oklahoman a while back. One of the guys he talked about in the article is Roger, and Roger's our janitor in the main facility there. And I mean, he's salt of the earth guy, right? I mean, just so he really struck up a friendship with Blake, and like he does with a lot of players and coaches, you know. So for Blake to really, you know, talk about him specifically and other people too there, but I think for what he did, that just shows you how humble the guy is, and just the fact that he doesn't forget his roots or where he came from, and you know, obviously during this time of crisis, and then be able to give back, I thought that was really special. And I think that shows the culture that we have within our organization, and, you know, starts from Coach Gundy and comes down from there.
Certainly. So talk to us about Blake. Maybe Blake, the college kid, was his hair longer then, you know, like than it is now?
No, he had a pretty good flow there. I think he was letting it flow there. you know, Blake's story is just one of tremendous, you know, lunch pail, work ethic kind of guy. You know, he played a little school at Tuttle, Oklahoma, just west of the city there. And obviously I wasn't here yet when he came on board, but mm-hmm. story goes, when he reported Oklahoma State, they asked him what position he played, and he said tight end. And at the time we didn't have tight ends. So they said, no, you go to play wide receiver. And I think his senior year in high school, I think he played tackle. And so he started out on scout team over the wide receiver, Coach Dunn. And, you know, really learned his trade there, and route running, and, you know, catching balls. And like a lot of guys, a lot of young guys, the first way you and even with the pros, I mean, how you get on the field first is special teams.
Sure.
And so Blake really put his time in, you know, was really a core special teams guy, then started to come on. And then in 2014, towards the end of the season, Coach Gundy was starting to make a move towards bringing tight ends back to the offense. So they approached Blake and said, hey, would you move to tight ends? So the last three games, he basically played a tight end position. They had played with fullbacks, you know, true 20 personnel fullbacks before then in their sets. And a guy by the name of Jeremy Seaton, who was from Cashin, Oklahoma, much like Blake, was a walk-on and earned a scholarship. He was the main guy. So then Blake came on in 2014. Mm-hmm. I got hired in season 2015. So one of the reasons why I got hired here at Oklahoma State is that to bring an offensive line blocking element into that position. Because before, the air raid system was two wide receiver coaches, outside receiver, inside receiver coach. Mm-hmm. So the tight end, fullback guys, they had no coach. So they would meet with the O-line, they would meet with the running back coach, they meet with the, you know, inside receiver coach. They had no drill. They had no position coach. So enter myself into the program. So then I was able to take all those guys under my position. So we called it the cowboy back. So the cowboy back.
Of course.
Yeah, so a fullback, tight end, wide receiver, all rolled into one. We play with up-tempo. We don't change personnel. We go as fast as we can and go down the road there. So that's kind of how it started. And then Blake just really evolved. And, you know, he's really the prototype that we're looking for as far as height, weight, size, speed, all those sorts of things.
Hey, guys, going to get back to Coach in just a second. But before we do, going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right, guys, let's get back to Coach. Here he is, Coach Jason McIndoe on the Ocho. Yeah, so the cowboy back is obviously something, you know, feels like that's what every football program wants, is dudes that are that versatile, that can do everything, basically. But obviously it's specific to you guys, and, you know, appropriately named and whatnot. Who is, you mentioned Blake, sort of the prototypical cowboy back in football history. Maybe that's too grand of a question, but if you could pluck one guy in his prime so that people can sort of idealize what the peak cowboy back is, who is it?
Yeah, I think you look at, I mean, probably one of the all-time greats, Tony Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy, I mean, the longevity they played, what he did, the numbers he put up. I mean, I think you got guys currently right now, like a Kelsey guy, or, you know,
sure.
You know, guys like that. I mean, very versatile. They can line up all over the field. And I think the thing right now, tight ends are like worth their weight in gold.
Right.
Everybody's looking. NFL teams are looking for an every down guy. They're looking for an every down guy. I mean, if you think back to the evolution of football, right? I mean, you'd have sub packages. So your base personnel set was in the NFL was 21 personnel. So mm-hmm. now your 11 personnel was a sub package where it only came on in third downs.
Right. And now it's all the time.
Now that's the norm. Now the norm is 11 personnel. That is where your starting point. And the thing about NFL teams, they're playing with 12 and 13 personnel. So they're playing with three tight ends out there in mm-hmm. round. And the reason why that is because they're versatile. They can do lots of things. You got a big body. You got a big skill guy at the point of attack who's blocking on the perimeter. And then you can come back in and attach and block a defensive end and do lots of different things. And you create mismatches on the safeties. So finding guys, so I'm telling guys all the time, especially in recruiting, I'm looking for guys that you can be an every down guy. Mm-hmm. You can run block and pass block and first and second downs. You're versatile enough to flex out, run routes, you've got speed, hands to catch routes. You know, so you don't have to come off the field on third downs and they sub in 10 personnel.
I mean, right.
That's where you're catching guys. That's where you're having the ability to be in 12 personnel and go down the field with tempo and not change.
No, and I think you're looking for freaks. That's what you're looking for, athletic freaks that, you know, are superhuman and can do things that, just bigger, faster wide receivers, really, is what you're looking for.
And so those guys, because of who they are and what they can do, that's why right now you see in recruiting, we were just talking about Huffman in, the 247 arrivals. I mean, the tight end position is one of the hottest recruited positions and highest commodity. If you look at a kid that's versatile, can do it in high school, he's got 35 to 40 offers coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. Becomes a national kid because now it's like finding a left tackle, or it's like finding a true lockdown corner. I mean, it's that.
It makes sense that if you had a bigger sort of wide receiver in high school, maybe that kid go play tight end, and if you can get bigger and sort of maintain that speed, maintain that strength. I mean, just because they're at this point in time, it feels like, to your point, there's sort of a trend, but it's rarer right now and you have a higher chance of getting on the field.
Listen, if you have a willingness and ability to block, everybody can run routes and catch a ball.
Right.
I mean, everybody, that's a dime a dozen. Yeah. Okay. If you have the ability to come in the box and put your face on guys and add value in the run game, you'll set yourself up for success. So I think one of his assets, one of the things that he has done well is his work ethic, mm-hmm. coachability. And I think that a lot of guys, there's a lot of freaks in the NFL. There's a lot of freaks in college football. But a lot of times those guys don't make it. Something happens, right? They can't figure it out. They get in trouble. They don't take care of business. They don't do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
The lunch pail guys that come to work every single day and just keep their head down, stay in the lane, do what they're supposed to do. They know where they're supposed to be. They know what they're supposed to do. They're taking care of business. And they just work, and they keep working every single day. I mean, that's Blake Jarwin. That's a lot of guys in the NFL. You go to the NFL locker room, the 2% is your top 2%, your Pro Bowl guys, your franchise guys. Okay, the rest of the locker room are guys who fight, scratch, claw, and do what they need to do to come to work every single day and earn a spot on the team.
You know, I think a lot of people tend to think that those things sound like cliches, but they're cliches for a reason. You know, like they're things that stand the test of time. And that's why, I mean, those qualities, it sounds cliche because like you hear that like in movies, like you watch Varsity Blues or whatever, and that's your guy. But that dude that will do that is actually far more rare than the world would have you believe. Go ahead.
I was going to say, take Blake. So he comes out and so he's undrafted free agent, so that's a chance to go with the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
He chose the Cowboys because he's a Cowboy fan regionally because of the success Oklahoma State guys had at Dallas. Mm-hmm. Why he chose Dallas over the Eagles at the time. Well, then in that rookie year, the Eagles came back and tried to sign him. That was the Super Bowl year.
Right. That was
– yep.
Well, to your point, at the time – and I'm sure you're a fan of Kellen Moore. I feel like the whole college football world is. At the time, so many – this was pre genius Kellen Moore that the world knows now. But at the time, Kellen Moore, backup quarterback, and Cowboys fans used to be so frustrated that the Cowboys were just continually keeping Kellen on the roster. They didn't understand. I think now everybody obviously gets it. But it was Blake that was finally the last straw. They cut Kellen Moore to promote Blake from the practice squad in 2017.
Oh, I remember the outrage. I mean, people were, I follow you, I follow all the Cowboy fans, you know, the Dallas Cowboy fans, and the outrage when people said.
It was wild.
We cut Kellen Moore for who?
Yeah. Well, and that's, to keep it Dallas related, that set up the Eagles trading up to draft Dallas Goedert. So the whole thing kind of, you know, goes for who I think all Cowboys fans would take Blake Jarwin over. I'm sure you would too. No disrespect to Dallas Goedert intended. But so Blake is, and I think we both certainly respect Jason Witten and his career and what he's done. It will be weird as hell to see him in a Raiders uniform. He is, you mentioned 11 personnel was sort of sub package. Jason Witten's kind of your OG 11 personnel tight end. And I think that's what Cowboys fans have gotten, to be frank, so sick of, especially watching, you mentioned Zach Ertz or Travis Kelce. People see that all the time. And I think people were really excited now 4 years ago when the Cowboys drafted Rico Gathers. That was maybe the like total end of the extreme, you know, like just super athletic guy. I mean, but maybe not necessarily as willing to do all the work like you mentioned. And so, you know, things kind of went one direction, but Blake is that athletic guy that I think people are ready to see that, you know, the athletic tight end that can take advantage of 11 personnel. Witten is like playing into the stereotype of 11 personnel, you know what I mean? Where Blake is exploiting it, if that makes sense.
No, that's right. And that's where the game has gone. You know, mm-hmm. And that's where you see these, you know, prolific offenses. They're living in 11 personnel and then subbing out from there. And so the thing that I think Blake gives the Cowboy offense is a chance to stretch the field vertical. Mm-hmm. When you have an athletic big tight end that can stretch the field vertical and hold those safeties, well, then that forces them to hold the middle of the field and it opens everybody else up. And so if you want to double Amari Cooper, then Blake's open. If Blake's rolling down the middle of the field, then he's going to double. He's going to occupy that backside safety or another defender, and then somebody else is open. So it's a give and take. I mean, it's.
Well, that exact situation, that was the first Cowboys touchdown of the season last year. And that's how Blake ended open, wide open in the middle of the field. And he's this big dude and no safety is big enough to hang with Blake Jarwin. And so that's the reality of it. I saw, by the way, you and I were recording early in the week, and I saw Blake ordered in and had a big old meal, and he put on his Instagram story. So, you know, staying on par, you know what I mean? To stay big and stocky.
He hardly could keep the weight on when he was here.
Really?
Well, just high metabolism guy. So I'd be on him all the time and be like, dude, take some protein shakes on him. Drink a protein shake before you go to bed. Hey, eat a large pizza. You can get away with it. So.
Hey guys, it's that time again. Going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. All right, everybody, welcome back. Let's finish strong. Here he is, the one and only Coach Jason McIndoe on the Ocho. So, something I wanted to ask you about was, it was a few months ago now. I know it was in the off season, and I know it hasn't been that long. You know, it's only, end of March or beginning of April. But Blake did a podcast a few months ago, like right when the off season kind of started, with his old roommates, I think. Did you know them? I mean, like, I'm curious because they had a lot of interesting stories. I think there were five of them, if I'm correct. And the funniest story to me was they were paying rent for four guys to live there, and they were kind of just like sneaking the fifth in there, and then the landlady found out and like showed up and got real pissed off. So it was really funny.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Being frugal, making that stretching that dollar, making it go.
Sure.
Yeah, that's, hey, whatever you got to do in college, right? I mean, whatever you got to do to make it work. So
well, so did you have any funny stories from Blake in college? Any funny things that, you know? Because, again, I think a lot of Cowboys fans have known Blake for a while, and he obviously had – I'm sure, what was – before I ask this question, what was the three-touchdown day like for you? That had to be the sickest day of all time for you.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I was going beside myself. We were actually meeting. We were at bowl practice, or we were watching practice, and I kind of had my phone going and scored the first one, and I said, oh, man, Dave Blake scored – And then everybody's like, yeah. And then I said, it's like, he's going to score it again. Like, what? That's awesome. But then he scored the third one. I was like, oh my God, that's unbelievable. So yeah, that was, it's awesome. So.
Well, so that was, I think, to your point, because the year before 2017 is who's this Blake who we cut Kellen Moore for? And then 2018 is the three touchdown performance in week 17, which was at the time a meaningless game for the Cowboys. They'd already won the division and everything. And then last year, I think people entered the season, or it was right about this time where the people were kind of getting really excited about it, you know, thinking, okay, this can be the guy. And then Jason Witten shows back up and, you know, things get a little weird. But so now with Blake having the extension and, you know, being the big man on campus, so to speak, I'm sure he's probably got a lot of protein shakes at this point. You know, a lot of people are kind of coming around and sort of devoting a lot of attention. Maybe we see some 89 jerseys rolling around. So give us some intel, give us some stuff that Blake wouldn't want us to know.
Well, I mean, the thing about Blake, you know, obviously it's hard to follow the footsteps of a guy like Jason Witten. I think he's always been very humble to be able to learn from a guy like that. And I felt like when after that, you know, he's starting to build a little bit there with the Cowboys, and then Witten decides to come back. And I know Blake was really, he was obviously disappointed by that, but again, you know, just the humbleness of him and how he handled it.
Sure.
He just rolled it into a positive and just said, hey, I'm going to keep learning from a Hall of Famer. And I think the other thing too is that, especially in the NFL and even in college, the ability to continue to work hard and wait for your opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think that's where a lot of guys, you know, that's where that becomes tough. You know, the mental game, you know, a lot of guys get themselves in a bad spot because mentally they, you know, it's not going their way. They got cut. You know, all these different things are happening in the NFL. I mean, it's a tough life at that level, and you know, seeing all that come and go. And so I think Blake, you know, just being humble and just continue to work through all that. I think that was really good. And then now he's come out the other side, and you know, obviously is getting his due. I mean, he's put his time in for sure. You know, Blake was a guy, easy come, easy go. But he's a guy that always was just very, very humble, very quiet, you know, kept to himself a little bit. I mean, he's never a guy that was, you know, never, you know, so. But, yeah, he and a couple other guys, I mean, they'd always go play golf. So he always enjoyed that.
Well, you know, Oklahoma State, you know, golf is a pretty prominent thing.
They would hack it around at the little local,
yeah,
the nine hole jobber down the road there.
I was talking. Well, so Blake was the first person I talked to at camp last year when we did a bunch of our interviews, and I was telling him, I was like, so have you ever played with Ricky? And he was like, no, I haven't. I was like, dude, that, like, you got to make that happen. I mean, you know, that's, I don't know who else is playing with Ricky Fowler right now. You know what I mean? Like, Blake can do that. Yeah. But Hunter Mahan, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of ways to go about this.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of Oklahoma State golf alumni he could hook up and get a game.
So I did want to get your thoughts on a different Blake. Obviously, you've got a favorite Blake on the Cowboys roster, and that's cool. But last week the Cowboys signed Blake Bell, who, you know, you're obviously well aware of with your experience in college football. Is he kind of an ideal Cowboy back type guy? I mean, that's sort of the idea, isn't it? I mean, what Blake Bell was at, you know, in state there at Oklahoma.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, the versatility, right? I mean, just mm-hmm. the, you can do. Obviously, that adds. So now you got Blake, you know, Blake and Blake.
Yeah. See, like, but I think that Dallas Cowboys fans are excited about that, and especially hearing you explain, you know, what the Cowboy back position is in your lens and how you guys define it, because that's what people want to see. You know, people want to see that type of football, that athletic football. You mentioned using two tight ends so often. If you've got Blake and Blake and you're playing Cowboy back football, all of a sudden, you know, things can get a little bit interesting for you. And you can take advantage of different things.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously you still have Schultz on the roster as well.
That's right.
You know, and you know, obviously he's from Stanford and blocks well, and he runs good routes too, and he's got good hands as well. So I think you're going to see the evolution of a Mike McCarthy offense with Kellen Moore. I mean, they're going to infuse those two. I was playing in New Orleans Saints in 2000, and Mike McCarthy was the he had just gotten to the Saints from the Niners. So coordinator in 2000. So actually, I think I still have a Mark McCarthy playbook. I think I have my OTA playbook still. But anyway, you know, the system's still the system. I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, the system is the system and it stays the system. It'll always be the system. How do you see, with your understanding of offense and football and how it works? I mean, it feels like we're just tapping into Kellen Moore, but how do you see Kellen Moore and your experience with Mike McCarthy? I mean, the two of them marrying. I mean, what sort of overall philosophy do you think? Because I think that's everybody's question. You know, what momentum takes over more, McCarthy or Moore?
Well, I think McCarthy will have obviously a huge influence. I mean, being the NFL as long as he has, being a coordinator, being an offensive-minded guy, I mean, that's going to have a heavy influence. And I think Kellen will bring, you know, an infusion of some different concepts that they've done. But, again, I mean, system's the system. And a lot of times in the NFL, I mean, everybody's running basically the same West Coast offense. I mean, so then – but then you evolve. I mean, like I think of evolution or innovation like the Kansas City Chiefs right now.
Sure.
I mean, if you're watching anybody in the NFL, I mean, they are a team that innovates in 11 personnel and just does a lot of different things that you don't see other teams do. So, but a lot of times, I mean, most people have the same kind of flavor as far as formations, personnel, plays, you know, because everybody kind of comes from the same trees, same coaching trees.
Well, it's exciting. Thanks for shedding some light on Blake Jarwin for us, Coach. Obviously, I think he would, you know, certainly acknowledge that you were a big influence on his career. And I think a lot of Cowboys fans are really excited about what he's going to be in 2020. I know we have a lot of Oklahoma State fans. We're certainly hoping everything gets back to normal soon. Can you give us some thoughts and some, you know, of course, a prediction, in fact, for Oklahoma State this season? You got to go on record. How, you know, undefeated? What are we talking here?
No, I think we're shooting for, you know, like everybody, we're shooting for a Big 12 championship start.
Of course.
And, you know, obviously we've got a good team. We got a lot of guys coming back, which is great. Defense is very, you know, established. We got a lot of our big playmakers on offense. So we just got to get all that put together, move the same direction. But we had a good offseason. Obviously we're missing spring ball. But the good thing is everybody else is missing spring ball as well. So, hopefully, you know, the next big date, I think, would be shooting for June, end of June, be able to get back on campus, get back lifting, have some form of normalcy. You know, and obviously that's what's up for debate, even in the NFL. I mean, when's training camp going to start?
Right.
End of July. I mean, it's going to be an abbreviated deal. So hopefully we get back to normal soon and you know, be able to get back and get in the fall. And I think a lot of people are looking forward to a fall football, you know, college and NFL. I mean, just, you know, right.
Yeah, it is. It kind of feels like the fall might be ridiculous, like from a sports perspective, if everything does, you know, sort of hit the marks that, you know, all of our leaders are saying and whatnot. I mean, we could have, you know, like a weekend could be Oklahoma State on Saturday, the Masters on Sunday. I mean, you know, like that would be kind of wild. But so I imagine that logistically, I mean, just for Oklahoma State or for anybody, I mean, that planning all that is, you know, ridiculous. And so that's why what Blake did, you know, is really, really helpful and really beneficial to your program. But we'll be rooting for you, Coach. Wear the black uniforms more often. I'm a fan.
Yeah, the all black. We try to switch it up. We never wear the same ones every week, so.
That's what the NFL has their helmet rule. And so people really hate that because you can't do that, but you're right. Like it is cool to see different, you know, uniforms every week.
Yeah.
I know you got, how many variations you got?
We have 16.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. What's your favorite?
We got a deal going on right now called Helmet Havoc on Twitter. So vote every day, vote for, you know, head to head helmet deal. So, you know, I like the, one of my favorites is the all white Barry Sanders throwback. Throwback OSU orange. That's a sharp looking helmet.
It is sharp. But the blacks, I'm just partial. And there's something about the blacks, like on a bright Saturday afternoon. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it just, that screams like I need something pumpkin in my mouth. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Coach, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Best of luck this season. We'll have to catch up soon enough.
All right. Thanks, RJ. Appreciate you.
Big time thanks to Coach Jason McAndoo for taking the time to join us. He is fantastic. He is, as mentioned, pretty awesome on Twitter. You make sure to follow him. He is at Jason McAndoo. Jason spelled, as you would imagine, McAndoo, McEndoo. And I learned a lot about Blake Jarwin, and I hope that you did too. I also learned a lot about the Cowboy back. Obviously, makes sense that that is the direction, certainly, that the NFL is going. College football has kind of been there forever, right? I mean, college football is all about just get athletes, let's score, and we'll do whatever we can. We'll get as creative as we can, and we're seeing that sort of integrate its way more into the NFL. That's why, you know, I think it's really exciting to think about what Kellen Moore can do with Blake Jarwin in front of the show, Blake Bell. Blake Jarwin, friend of the show, been on this show too. That is fun, and I think that that's worth getting relatively hyped about, you know, maybe not overly hyped, but relatively hyped. So keep your hype, in fair restriction. Hopefully you enjoyed that. I know I did. Appreciate all the feedback we've gotten on the guests. Working very hard to make sure we get you a lot because, you know, we enjoy conversations. This kind of the time of year where we can hear different stories, hear from different people, hear different takes, and kind of put together ours after hearing and learning from different people. So make sure to check out our latest video on the Blog and the Boys YouTube channel. Again, recommending 10 different games from the last decade to go watch. There's only one loss that we included in our list of 10, and I think you can probably figure out and guess which one it was. Make sure you're checking out blogontheboys.com for the latest and greatest in the world of America's team. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RJOchoa. You can always shoot me an email, rj.ochoa@sbnation.com, if that is more your speed. Middle of the week, we made it to April, and this is the month of the NFL draft, so that'll be fun, and we're going to get through it all together. That's how we roll, one big family, because that's what we are. We're a fam, man. Do me a favor, all right? Have the absolute best Wednesday of all time. I'm talking the best Wednesday ever. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you manana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys, and peace out.